are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Wednesday, September the 17th in the year of our Lord 2014. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, your host, and we are going to be taking questions on one of the readings found for this coming Sunday, which is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. We're going to be taking a look at Matthew chapter 20. If you want to take a look at that, don't hesitate to do so. And we're going to begin by telling you a little story. Can you imagine that you own a Starbucks, you know, one of those great coffee places, and you have to hire some people? So you're open from 7 in the morning till 6 at night. At 7 in the morning, you hire a woman. And then at 11, you hire another woman. And then about 1 o'clock, another woman. And then at 3 o'clock, another woman. And finally, at 5 o'clock, during the last hour, you hire a man. At 6 o'clock, when everybody is ready to leave, you pay them all the same amount. What do you think is going to happen to you? Well, I can't quite remember all the letters. Is it the EOCC? Equal Opportunity Commission is going to be giving you a ring. You may end up being fined, and if you're not going to change your ways, you could even get jail time. And you cannot give as a reason why you're doing it Matthew chapter 20. What? But isn't that exactly what Matthew chapter 20 says? It begins with, the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, a denarius a day is a day's wages. And of course, people are glad to get day's wages in those days, and they agree to the denarius a day. But then going out in the third hour, he hires someone else and says, whatever is right, I will give you. And he does that at the sixth hour and the ninth hour. And about the 11th hour, he even goes out. And he says, why are you here idle all day? No one has hired us. He said, go into the vineyard too. And when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. See, they only worked 1 hour. And when those hired first came, who worked almost 12 hours, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And of course, they grumbled at the master of the house. These last worked only 1 hour. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But the master says to them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first last. Wow. You can go to any Christian bookstore and you'll see all kinds of books about principles of life gleaned from the Bible about how to be a good employer or a good employee, or maybe a husband or a wife or a parent or a child, and the list goes on and on. Well, what people don't realize is theology is the art of making distinctions. And sometimes the principles that you find about how God is talking about people working are not to be used by us in the business world. The distinction I want to bring up is how different God is in regard to the temporal and the spiritual realms. God just has a different set of principles. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, in the temporal realm, and that's the realm of the earth, that's the government, God is a God of justice in the sense that you get what you deserve. So if you put in good number of hours, well, you get paid more than somebody who hasn't put in as many hours. If you rob a bank, you're going to get a bigger punishment than if you steal some gum from Walgreens. But in the spiritual realm, and that's where the church is, God has a totally different set of principles. And those principles are a God of mercy and grace rather than a God of justice. So Sharia law, for example, in the Muslim world, many of them often don't make a distinction between the temporal and the spiritual. In fact, I just had a discussion with someone over the weekend when we were out of town, talking to them about that. I said, you know, the church does not impose our spiritual rules on the government. Now, there is morality that should be imposed, such as not having gay marriage, not having an abortion, this sort of thing. That is also to be the government's role. But in other areas, I said, okay, let's say you're a judge. You belong to a Lutheran church, and two of your members come, and they want to have a divorce. And both of them are members of the Lutheran church also. Now, you realize that it's an unbiblical divorce. Maybe they found other partners that they enjoy being around, and so they just want to get rid of this marriage and marry somebody else. As a judge in the temporal realm, with the laws being no-fault divorce, you would probably be able to give them a divorce. But then, as a member of the congregation, you could go to the congregation and ask that the process of excommunication be put into place, because in the church, we excommunicate those who have unbiblical divorces. I know I did that twice in the years I was at St. James Lutheran, 28 years there. And we had two occasions. Now, we excommunicated more than twice because there were other items involved. But the point I'm trying to make here is the temporal realm is not to impose the specific Christian values. For example, if you're a member of the Lutheran Church, then you need to baptize your children. That's one of our guidelines, one of our rules. But we don't impose that on the government. The government does demand a certificate when a child is born, but that certificate is called a birth certificate. The church does demand a certificate, but that is called a baptismal certificate. And so the Bible is pretty clear where the difference between church and state evolve, and also where the church actually can attempt to impose its morality on the government. And the reason we do that is because God has set up a certain morality to follow, and if it's not followed, chaos will result. I mean, just take a look at abortion. If you don't think that is chaotic, the killing of little Jewish babies in the womb of their mothers, well, don't be talking to me against the Holocaust, because we're doing it today. In other words, the point I'm trying to make is the temporal and spiritual realms are distinct as to how God operates in each. If you want to know how he operates in the temporal realm, go read Romans 13. You pay taxes to whom taxes are due. You give honor to the government. The government does not hold the sword in vain. None of that language comes about in the Holy Christian Church, among the congregational members of the church. Now, how do you know when you're reading a passage whether it's referring to the temporal or the spiritual realm? Well, the word parable often refers to any metaphor or comparison, and there are a number of kinds of parables. In fact, my wife is attending a class at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 12345 Manchester, on Tuesday nights at 6:30, where Dr. Kloa is going through the parables. And he made the point, of course, that you have some parables that are dealing with the kingdom of heaven, and other parables are dealing with ethics. And so there's some characteristics, some different classifications of parables, if you use the broad definition of a parable, namely just a comparison between two items. But in Matthew 20, the story Jesus begins with is, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." Oh, okay. Now, what is the kingdom of heaven? I would say if you went up to almost anybody on the street and asked them the question, when you think of heaven, what do you think about? They'll all say the afterlife, after Judgment Day. But that word, kingdom of heaven, is used in two other situations. For example, when you die and your spirit separates from the body, you go to what's called the interim. I-N-T-E-R-I-M. We don't know too much about that, but your spirit is there, but not your body. Your body doesn't rejoin your spirit until Judgment Day. But there's another kingdom of heaven, and that's the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Sometimes it's called the kingdom of heaven, sometimes the kingdom of God, but it's also referred to as the Holy Christian Church. And as I indicated, there are some requirements in the Holy Christian Church that are not demanded of the government, such as infant baptism. So when Jesus gives this parable, this kingdom of heaven, we learn how God works in the church. Now, there's a number of things that I like to say about parables. Whatever a parable is talking about is not what a parable is talking about. So if it's talking about finding a lost sheep, it really isn't about guidelines for shepherds how to find lost sheep or lost sheep. Yeah, you don't put an S on the end of that. If it's talking about fish, that net that drew in many fish, it's not talking about how you ought to fish. Those aren't principles of life that you can move over into the temporal realm. But if it's talking about money, work, and wages, it's therefore not talking about money, work, and wages. It's using a comparison of this earthly thing with the kingdom of heaven. That's why I really do dislike the definition of a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is correct, but nobody understands it properly. Because when they think of the word heaven, as I've already indicated, they're thinking of afterlife. And the parables are not about what is going to happen in the afterlife, after your body restored to your spirit and you're in heaven with Jesus forever. That's not what parables are about. Parables are instead about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So, what is being said here? Well, what is the comparison? It's not an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's an earthly story with an earthly meaning. That's how I like saying it. In other words, what's the earthly meaning? We're talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth. How does God operate in the Holy Christian Church? And my understanding of this parable would be the following. Some people have been members of the Holy Christian Church, such as myself, since we were baptized as an infant. And so if I die, no matter what year I die in, maybe 60 years old, 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, I've been a member of the church that long. But there are some people who become members of the church on their deathbed. This is not at all unusual. You can talk to pastors. We often will visit people in the hospital, our members. And let's say one of the members has a roommate. And while you're praying with your own member, the roommate may ask, "Can you tell me a little bit more about this Jesus that I heard you talk about?" And maybe even ask for a prayer. That person may come to faith. They may die that night. Are they going to go to heaven? And the answer is yes. If you like to call me, don't hesitate. In St. Louis, it's 821-0850. That's the number you would phone in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. But toll-free long distance anywhere, including the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Unlike the Roman Catholic denomination, we do not agree with the concept of purgatory. How did that come about? Well, it primarily came about because people did not think it was fair that somebody who'd been a member of the church and had done penance all their life would have the same kind of heavenly experience as, let's say, somebody who just became a Christian on their deathbed. So purgatory was the place they go to help pay for the consequences of their temporal sins so that they could be holy enough to enter into heaven. Well, we simply don't agree with that because we believe that God is a God of justice and mercy. So as I indicated, if you'd like to talk to me, 821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, my understanding of a parable is that it's never a metaphor, but it's always a symbol, a simile that teaches a moral lesson.
How would you define a metaphor from a simile?
Well, a metaphor says that something is, but a simile is just simply a comparison. Like you say something is like, you know, this is like this or this is like that. But actually the word, a metaphor is something that takes, is an idea that takes the place of another idea or thing for the purpose of comparison. But in a simile, you're using the word like, and in a metaphor, you're using the word is. I guess that's the best way I can explain it.
Yes, in fact, when I took English, that's what we were told. The difference is a metaphor doesn't use the word like in it, and a simile does. But in reality, would you not say you're still making the same point?
Well, yeah, I guess it's a fine line, I guess, as they say, you know.
Yes, I think you're correct, and I sure appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling. Yes, in English, a simile often has like or as in it, and a metaphor would not. And Mike's point is, listen, the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So I don't really see that big a problem between the difference between a simile and a metaphor, except that a simile has the word like or as in it, but a metaphor does not. But you're still comparing two items. You could look at a house and say, boy, that is like a palace, or that house is a palace. The latter would be a metaphor. The first would be a simile. But they really do mean the same thing, is that there are conditions of the house that make it like a palace, and is a palace. So I want to make a big deal out of it, but I appreciate Mike's comment that the parables often on the kingdom of heaven begin, the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's important to understand, therefore, though, that whatever it's like isn't really what it is. So the kingdom of heaven is not God coming to you and hiring you and going to give you some pay. No, the point of this parable is pretty clear. Those who come into the church early and are members of the church for a long time don't get a different heaven than those who have only been Christians for a short period of time. Now, we do have what's called the degrees of glory. The Bible doesn't really explain that too much, but I don't think that refers to length of time of being a Christian. I think that this is my own personal opinion, so it's not biblical, so to speak, that God has given you certain gifts, and those who use a higher percentage of them for the work of the kingdom would have a higher level of glory. For example, a pastor who hardly does any study for his sermons, and they're lazy sermons, and there's nothing new in them, I don't think he would have as high a degree of glory in heaven as a pastor who really spends time in getting that sermon ready so that his people can have an aha experience. Let's go back to the phone lines, and let's talk with Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. You're on the air.
Hi. I was listening to the parable again, and I was thinking of yesterday on Thy Strong Word. We just finished Romans 6, and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I thought, oh, wow, this sort of ties, to me it seemed like it tied in with the parable. And I was thinking, a lot of people don't get infant baptism because they don't believe that eternal life is a free gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes, they have a view of God of being just, which means he gives you what you deserve. And so they feel that they get what they deserve because of the works they put out, etc. So they would have a real problem with this parable, I think, because Jesus does give the same wage to everybody. Everybody gets heaven, because that was the agreement. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. So you can't not perish more or not perish less. And that Romans passage would fit in very well here.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling. And anybody else can call. The numbers are in St. Louis, 821-0850, and toll-free, 1-800-730-2727. That 800 number can also be called in St. Louis. We can call it anywhere. So if you have a question, don't hesitate to do so. And once more, if you remember what Cheryl was saying, the wages of sin is death. That's the law. But the gift of God is free. That's gospel. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, and let's talk with Linda. Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Pastor. We had a beautiful thing happen Sunday after church. Our neighbor who lives up the road from us, I guess he's 75 now, and he had joined our church, and our pastor baptized him in the lake. And, you know, before he was baptized, he confessed his faith before all of us. And, you know, the water was cold. And when he came out of that lake, he says, "I feel good." I said, "You feel like a newborn baby, you know." And he did become a baby. He was a baby when he was baptized, even at 75. So,
oh, well, Jesus says that we need to become like the little children.
Yes.
And that means the reason he felt good, of course, was because of the faith that the Holy Spirit had given him, and now the assurance that if he were to die, heaven is his home.
He had that assurance, and he was a Christian before he got in that water, though. He believed.
Yes.
And he was, by the word of God, he believed.
But now, having been baptized, he now has something else to look to rather than his own faith, for the assurance that his sins have been forgiven, because God has attached a promise to the waters of baptism.
And now he's got the comfort of his church, too. You know.
Now, a quick question. Are all the members baptized in the lake, or was this a special?
Well, the pastor's granddaughter was getting baptized.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we ran out of places to go, and the lake was a good place.
Oh, sure.
But anyway, when we told John, he says, "I want to be baptized too." So actually what happened is he confessed his faith right there on the,
right,
on the bank of the river, and we voted him into our church. We had to do some things legally. You know, he's a member first, and then he got baptized.
Well, no, it reminds me of Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. After hearing the message, the Ethiopian said, "What prevents me from being baptized?"
I know. It was beautiful.
Exactly.
You know, I wanted to get in there. Well, my son, now he's the associate pastor, and he had to help my pastor with the baptism. So that was another beautiful thing that Doug was helping, too. And, you know.
Did you have that all videotaped?
Doug's wife was taking pictures. I don't think of things like that.
Oh, I would definitely, because that would be something that, especially for new members, you could be able to show that to them and this sort of thing. So we usually carry a video camera. You know, a lot of the even the small cameras now can do videos as well as still pictures.
It's never too late. Never too late as a pastor.
Never. That's what this parable is all about.
I love you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. And that's a real-life story about this parable. That gentleman, 75 years old, even though he's a Christian, heaven is his home as much as it was for somebody who's been in the church for 75 years, somebody who was baptized as an infant. There's no distinction, because God has promised not to pay you a wage, but to give you a gift. And that's what Cheryl was all about, that, yeah, under the law, wages of sin is death. But under the gospel, you get a free gift from God himself. Well, thanks so very much. I'm on my way to a funeral of a dear friend who I had been visiting in the hospital. So we're going to pray for the family. And the funeral is going to be one that I know they're going to hear the wonderful gospel message. Tomorrow, we're going to be with Wes Reimnitz. In case you have any questions about his Monday program when I was out of town. And we may also have some insights for you. Till then, I'm Tom Baker. Law & Gospel. God bless.
Listen to Law & Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.